Susan and I are so excited to announce that we have partnered with our friend, attorney Gabrielle Hartley, best-selling author of Better Apart, The Radically Positive Way to Separate, to create a series of very special divorce retreats called Bi Divorce, Bi for Best You Ever Retreats, which features a stellar list of all-star experts. If you're a woman going through divorce, separation, or still healing from the process, these divorce retreats are for you. You've got to come. We have expert advice, practical tips, inspirational guests. Our very first one is Saturday, May 18th, 2019, from 9:30 to 4 in Los Angeles.
So at this very first retreat, let me just give you a rundown of some of the really exciting guests that we have. You've met many of them on the show. We have Ariel Lori, social media influencer and the creator of the lifestyle brand, The Blonde Files. Jen Giamo, celebrity trainer you've seen on Live with Kelly and Ryan, and she's the creator with Worthy.com of the Fresh Start Fitness Program. Tammy Leader Fuller, the creator of Camp Powerment and an Emmy Award-winning producer of The Today Show. Lily Vasilev, one of the leading divorce financial experts in the country who you have seen on CNN, MarketWatch, CNBC, and The Street. We have Aaron Levine, the creator of Hello Divorce and one of the bright lights in the world of legal tech. And we're going to do a live podcast taping of Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast, with very special guest, celebrity divorce attorney and the creator of It's Over Easy, Laura Wasser.
And we also want to thank our sponsor for these events, FAIR, F-A-Y-R, the premier co-parenting app. You've met Michael Daniels, the creator of the app, on episode 123. And we are very excited that they are partnering with us for these retreats. Look for additional Bi Divorce retreats coming soon in Chicago, New York, and Naples. But don't miss the very first one right here in Los Angeles.
You can get more information about attending the retreats or becoming a sponsor at bydivorce.com. That's B-Y-E, divorce.com. And be sure to grab your seat quickly at these events because we have very limited availability in all locations. We hope to see you there.
Coming today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast.
That's the natural reaction. If you're being attacked, you want to respond to that.
Right, but, right. And that's... You know, and that's a mistake, because with high conflict people, now you're in the quicksand with them and you're playing their game, and so they're going to win and you're going to lose.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome back to part two of our very special two-part episode with attorney and author Bill Eddy, one of the leading high conflict divorce experts in the world. So when we last left the first episode, Bill was explaining his CARS method, C-A-R-S, from his book, Five Types of People Who Can Ruin Your Life. So we're going to pick up our episode two at that point, and Bill's going to explain the CARS method to help you manage the people with high conflict personalities. Did want to definitely hone in on another one of your acronyms, CARS, C-A-R-S, because I think this is the meat of what people can really pull from to get through this time and to manage what's going on. So I know that C, let's start with the first letter, sounds like a good place, it stands for connecting. So maybe we can do a deep dive into connecting.
Yeah. So the idea, and you said the right word, which is you want to manage the situation, manage the relationship. Don't make your goal changing the other person, because that's all the stuff that backfires. So make your goal managing the relationship, you know, just try to keep it relatively calm. So connecting. And by the way, all four of these are the opposite of what you feel like doing. So when you feel like yelling at them or running the other way, is instead connect with them with empathy, attention, and respect. And that's the ear statements that you mentioned earlier. And the idea is you just want to have a positive connection. And believe it or not, people with high conflict personalities want to have positive relationships. And so when they're coming at you negatively, just respond to them positively as connect. And so empathy, attention, and respect, you can give them some empathy and say, wow, I can see how frustrated you are by this. This is a hard situation. These are big decisions. And that's one thing you can do. Another is to say, I'll pay attention. Tell me more. I want to understand your point of view, your proposal, whatever it is. And R is respect. You know, I respect your efforts. I respect your time with our child. I respect your preparation for this financial decision. So something has to be true. Don't make something up. So something you can respect. I respect, you know, the job you did yesterday. That was really helpful. So the idea is empathy, attention, and or respect. And so that's a way to connect with people rather than yelling at them to calm down, is to also show that yourself as being calm, confident, we can deal with this, you know, let's see what we can do.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times what people want, the natural reaction is to get into whatever it is that they're saying. Like if they say something like, you know, for example, you had the kids this weekend, you didn't feed them anything at all. You know, you starved them, blah, 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 whatever. You're a horrible father. You know, the natural reaction, I think, for people is to say, no, this is what I fed them. I'm a good dad. Here are all the ways that I'm a good dad. You know, they end up getting into being sucked into that vortex. And so what I used to tell people, or I still tell people, is, you know, don't respond directly to each and every single allegation, because that's what people, that's the natural reaction. If you're being attacked, you want to respond to that.
Right, but, right. And that's, you know, and that's a mistake. Because with high conflict people, now you're in the quicksand with them and you're playing their game, and so they're going to win and you're going to lose. So it's much better to sidestep that with an ear statement and connect with them and say, well, thanks for telling me your concerns. You know, I'll think about that. Rather than you're wrong, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Or thinking the facts are going to change their mind.
Yeah, right. You're
not going to happen.
Someone, but you don't have to agree with them either. So you can say, well, thank you for telling me your concerns. You know, I hear you. Okay. Yeah. And with that, when we get into the other parts of CARS, you might also say, you know, and I think I'm doing a fine job, and other people have said that too. So so you don't accept their criticism, but you don't fight with it. It's just, you know, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree on that one, you know, but thanks and have a good week.
That felt a little biffy.
Yeah, right. There's overlap in the tone in your statements and biff responses.
Sure.
Not fighting with them. You're just keeping it on the positive.
Yep.
So the A in CAR stands for analyzing, and that involves talking about the choices or options that people have. It may sound confusing to our listeners, but it can be effective. And could you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, first of all, think of the brain, and we have different parts of the brain we respond with. And I tend to think in terms of right and left hemispheres, even though the higher parts, higher thinking and lower parts. But generally, right brain thinks more about relationships, is where we get more defensive energy. Left brain's more logic, problem solving, etc. So connecting with ear calms the right brain, and now you want to focus them on more left brain problem solving. So having choices makes you think. Having to make proposals makes you think. Writing things down makes you think. And so we want to get people thinking. We want to calm them, but then focus them on things. And I think just focusing them on a choice, you know, here you've got a choice, you've got alternatives, you know, analyze, decide what you want to do with this choice, gets away from arguing about the past. So here's a combination. So someone complains, like you said, the thing about the weekend, you know, so you think I'm a horrible parent and I didn't feed the kids this weekend. So I say, well, okay, thanks for letting me know your point of view. I'll think about that. And let's look in the future to what our choices are. Like Wednesday, we've got this baseball game, and who's going to go and who's going to be with the child, or can I pick up the child or whatever. So you get them focused forward on a choice. And so analyzing is using your analyzing brain, not your reacting brain. So that's connect and then analyze a choice, analyze a proposal, analyze something in writing. Get people thinking about the future rather than defending the past. So connect and then help analyze. Here's what I see your choices are.
And then, you know, then it moves to R, the R in CARS, which stands for responding, which does take us to BIF, I think, which I'm happy that R is responding and is BIF, because I think that is a method that can help any listener. So could you just expound on that a little bit?
Yeah. So R is responding to their hostility or their misinformation without arguing with it. And the easiest way is using BIF responses. So I'm glad you mentioned that. And so BIF is being brief, informative, just straight information, friendly tone, and firm, meaning you end the discussion. You don't say, well, what do you think about that, buddy? You know, you don't invite a new argument, which so many people do in high conflicts that they can't let go of it. And it's just matter of fact. All of this is calm, confident, matter of fact. Don't look rattled. Try to, if you're rattled inside, pretend you're not rattled on the outside, because that just escalates the other person. So just keep it calm. And that's why writing is so helpful. And BIF, because you can think about it. You can go, okay, I'll send this tomorrow, this response. So you're not getting stuck in there. But it's responding to hostility or misinformation. Sometimes they'll say something that's not true. You know, you didn't, 2 weeks ago, you were half an hour late. And actually, you were on time. And so you can say, you know, oh, you may not be aware of it, but actually on January 17th, I was on time because I came straight from work. And you may remember that evening I took the kids to, you know, such and such on time. So you're not saying you're wrong. You just say, here's the information. And so have a good weekend. And, you know.
Well, in situations like that, you also have to really notate everything. you know, keep good records because you will be accused of things like that. You didn't show up, you know, half the time last week or whatever. You were late. You were supposed to call at 7 and you didn't. You know, they will say things like that.
Yeah, I really agree. Is keeping records of any potentially controversial event, keeping records of parenting time, et cetera, doctor's visits, you know, all these kinds of things. It's good because it's people with personality disorders or high conflict people, which a lot of overlap there, tend to distort information. And so they put a spin on it, the all or nothing spin, or they jump to conclusions, or they use emotional reasoning. I feel it's true, so it must be true. And so writing things down is really one of the best ways. And if you do end up in court and you made notes the same day that something happened, you're a lot more credible than if you go, well, yeah, I think last year I did that. I don't know what day it was. And it's like, that's pretty fuzzy. So yeah. You write things down the same day that they happen.
But we actually...
Yeah, giving this information is so important. And you can just say, oh, well, my notes say I did pick them up on time that day. Yeah, it was 7 p.m. or 5:30. That's one of the days, you know, that I did it straight from work. So,
yeah.
And that's the end. You don't say, so you're an idiot and so you're wrong. You can say, here's the information. You may not be aware of that. But that day, you know, I was on time for these reasons.
Yeah, we actually recommend to a lot of our clients that they use some of these, the new co-parenting apps like Fair. We had the Michael Daniels, the creator of Fair, on, and he actually has an element to the app that allows for checking in. So you can actually use the app to geo-check in to show that you were somewhere at a certain time, but it also allows you to keep records and take notes in that contemporaneous fashion, and then the reports can just be downloaded for court. So there are a lot of ways for these days, you know, that technology allows people to keep track of a lot of that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it avoids a lot of arguments.
And Michael actually developed that part of his app because he was accused of something and ended up only being able to prove he was somewhere because he happened to have a toll receipt because he took a toll road. And it had the time stamp on there. And so he was able to prove where he was. But without that, he wouldn't have been able to prove it. So he developed this part of the app to help others not have to deal with that same thing. But, you know, a lot of what you say is, I think, easier said than done for people because they're so emotional. And really what you're saying is, you know, remain calm. Don't get into the thick of it with them. And when you're being attacked, sometimes it can be difficult. So I like the S part of your cars because I think it really kind of helps tie up that piece of it where, you know, it's so difficult sometimes when you're being attacked not to want to respond. So talk about the S and setting limits.
We're going to take a quick break right now to tell you about our newest sponsor, the co-parenting app Fair. If that sounds familiar, we interviewed Michael Daniels, the creator of Fair, on episode 123, The Insider Secret to Seamless Co-Parenting. And Rebecca and I are very strong supporters of Fair because we think it supplies you with the best tools to improve communication with your co-parent. They have a time-sharing calendar, documentable text messaging, and an expense tracker to keep track of those shared expenses.
There's a DPS check-in that's court verifiable, a monthly parenting report to download with all your details, private journal to take notes, a file vault to keep your records, photos, and documents, and it's all downloadable in a convenient time and date stamp PDF when you need documentation for legal matters. And there's even a Spanish version as well. Fair allows you to experience co-parenting a totally new way, simply, inexpensively, transparently, and fairly. Lose the he said, she said, and be the best parent you can be. Be fair. Subscribe at BeFair.com, and then download FAYR from the App Store or Google Play. Just go to fair.com for more details.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on five types of people who can ruin your life with high conflict divorce expert Bill Eddy.
It really seems to be part of high conflict people. They collect advocates to speak for them, and they often are family members, but they often also are friends, co-workers, and even professionals. A therapist could get hooked in as a negative advocate. A lawyer could get hooked in as a negative advocate. And usually how you can tell is they're so strong, they're so emotional about their kind of the knight in shining armor for the person. And what we realize is they're emotionally hooked, but uninformed.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including the absolute must-have life skills that will set you up for success and happiness with Jeff Bolas.
Yeah, resilience is something that we learn as we go through life and manage the ups and downs. And I've certainly discovered that, you know, when things have got tough, is that that's where you really, truly learn. You do not learn from comfort.
And now we return to today's show.
So setting limits is so common of an issue with high conflict people because they don't stop themselves. Why? That's why they keep going. They don't have the self-restraint. And so individually and as a society, we need to set limits. That's why family courts have become so busy with restraining orders. When I started practicing law in 1993, restraining orders were less than 1% of what we spent time on. And now it's a huge part of family law practice.
Yes.
So stopping people, setting limits, letting them know what they can and can't do, what your consequences will be if they do this, I'll do that. And so keep in mind, you can't control the other person, but you can say, if you do this, I'm going to have to do that. Or if you don't do this, I won't be able to do this other thing that I've been doing for you. And so it's getting them again to think ahead about the consequences, about the future. So you're saying, I won't participate in it. If you talk to me that way, I'm going to have to stop the conversation. I think of, for example, I represented a mother who'd been a victim of domestic violence or survivor of domestic violence. And her ex-husband-to-be represented himself, and he'd call me up and he'd say, now you tell that such and such that we have to do this and this. And I'll say, you can't talk about my client that way. It's very disrespectful. And he said, well, I'll talk about her any way I want. So you tell that such and such. And I'll say, sorry, but if you speak to me that way, I'm going to have to hang up and end the conversation. So please don't speak about my client that way. Well, I don't care. I'm going to do, okay, I'm hanging up now. You made your decision. Goodbye. And so it's letting people know. You can set personal limits, who you'll talk to, when you'll talk, what topics you'll talk about, all of those things. Now, of course, if you're in a dangerous situation, just get out of the situation. Don't give them ear statements. Don't give them choices. Get yourself out of the situation. But most of the time, people can just say, this is what I'm willing to do and what I'm not willing to do. So S is setting limits, letting people know what's okay, what's not okay, but just very briefly. And you can do this with empathy, attention, and respect. You know, I'm sorry I have to do this, but blah, blah, blah. Actually, that violates something else I teach, which don't apologize to angry, upset, high conflict people because then they use it as ammunition. So what I've tried to do is replace I'm sorry with I'm saddened by. And so I'll say, well, I'm saddened by this that I have to say no, but I have to say no to this request that you've made. So you can give them some empathy at the same time that you're setting the limit. I teach judges that. I say, make all the orders you need to make, but tell people, look, you know, I know this is a hard time, and I hope someday you'll appreciate that by stopping this behavior, you're benefiting much more in the long run.
That's a great substitution. I like the, it saddens me or it pains me to do this, as opposed to I'm sorry, because I think that is a natural response to say I'm sorry.
But especially for women, I think we tend to say sorry more than we should, you know, in situations like that. I mean, or we could, you could even say it's disappointing that we have to do this, but, you know.
Great.
Yeah. So you don't have to be harsh to set limits. And someone suggested one day, and I like this, is think of the Godfather. If you watch Godfather movies, the Godfather's hard to hear because he whispers when he's setting limits. And it's like, you know, pretty powerful, pretty dangerous, but it's not the volume of your voice. It's how firm and consistent you can be in following through. And that's the other thing is people have to realize you may have to repeat all of the aspects of the CARS method over and over again, and it's okay. Repetition often helps people go, oh, now I get it. You're not willing to talk to me about that subject. Okay.
So another phenomena that happens that you do discuss in the book is what you call negative advocates. And, you know, I've actually heard this termed the flying monkeys of the narcissists. That always brings to the Wicked Witch of the West and her cadre of monkeys that go after Dorothy. But many of our listeners are dealing with these collateral people. It's not just always the high conflict personality person. They have their negative advocates. So can you delve into this a little bit?
It really seems to be part of high conflict people. They collect advocates to speak for them, and they often are family members, but they often also are friends, coworkers, and even professionals. A therapist could get hooked in as a negative advocate. A lawyer could get hooked in as a negative advocate. And usually how you can tell is they're so strong, they're so emotional about, they're kind of the knight in shining armor for the person. And what we realize is they're emotionally hooked, but uninformed. And I've seen people like that come to court in court cases. And because there's a series of hearings for some of these issues, suddenly they vanish because it's around the time they start realizing the person they've been advocating for is actually the person who's engaged in the worst behavior. And partly because of that, they're constantly seeking new negative advocates because the old ones often drop out. But however, I would say in family law, one thing that I see consistently is that the negative advocates in high conflict custody disputes are often the grandparents. And they're often paying for the custody dispute because the parents may have exhausted their funds fighting over everything else. And so it's important for family members to be a positive advocate, which means that you provide information, support, but you don't take on the role of fighting for the person. You really can't work harder than the person that's going through the divorce. And likewise for professionals, when you find yourself working harder than your clients, there's something wrong. You can't work harder than your clients because then they're not working and you're just spinning your wheels. So don't become a negative advocate, but don't be surprised if you see them and have to deal with them. And the key to dealing with negative advocates is the same way you deal with high conflict people: connect, help them analyze, respond, set limits. But emphasize providing information because they usually are uninformed. And you can say, you may not be aware, but, or aware and, here's some information. So that's the way to deal with that. But don't be surprised by it. People are often shocked, like, oh my goodness, they've persuaded this other person in my life to be against me, and now they're attacking me too. How could this happen? And it's emotional. process, and it's because emotions are contagious, and that's why people become negative advocates.
Well, and also don't be surprised when the negative, when the high conflict personality acts like a high conflict personality. I mean, I had a client one time, 2 years into litigation, call me up all upset. Can you believe he did this, 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 and this? And, you know, this whole thing that happened at the schoolyard that morning or whatever. And I said, yes, I can believe that because I've been hearing about him for 2 years. I can't believe that you can't believe it.
Right.
Yeah, the behavior doesn't usually scale down as the litigation process goes on.
Right. Expect them to be that way, but never call them that. Don't say you have a high conflict personality, you're a narcissist, you are crazy, right? Because
just have what I call a private working theory. So you can think to myself, oh, he's narcissistic, therefore I need to do this, this, and this, rather than, oh, he's a narcissist, so I'm going to call him a narcissist. That doesn't work.
Yeah, because the narcissist isn't going to go, oh, you know what? You're right.
It would have happened 30 years ago.
Right.
Well, the phenomenon I see so much lately is where perhaps people are not going directly to their ex to say that they think they're a narcissist or a high conflict personality, but they post it all over their social media. My ex is a narcissist, flaming narcissist, and he does this or she does that. And they put it out there. I'm pretty sure it's going to trickle out to their soon-to-be ex.
Increases their defensiveness and their being difficult. So it's better just if you say it to anybody, have one person and have them keep it private.
Yeah. Your therapist would be a good person.
Yeah, your therapist, your priest, your rabbi.
Yeah.
So I can't believe this whole hour went by. I mean, we're almost at our end here, and I want to make sure that we get in, you know, where the listeners can hear more about you and what books you've got coming up. I know you have one coming out specifically about narcissists.
Well, the new book, I've taken it a step further. I've gone, you know, into talking about the workplace with it's all your fault at work, and we've gone to dating with Dating Radar. So this one now is about leaders, and the title is Why We Elect Narcissists and Sociopaths and How We Can Stop. And whether it's to the local school board, the city council, the mayor, the governor, to heads of state and political leaders, we see really same pattern, high conflict personalities, but they collect, we're talking about negative advocates, they collect people who really help them appeal to thousands and millions of voters, et cetera. And we're seeing more and more high conflict people get into the political process running for office, and people just aren't prepared for them. People don't have the healthy skepticism they need. So it really talks about the patterns of how what they do to get elected and how we can kind of keep that from happening. So as with high conflict divorce and high conflict in the workplace, there's a lot of unhealthy patterns, and we have to prepare as a community and as voters to not put them in positions of power. And like I said, it's every level of politics we're seeing high conflict personalities entering nowadays. So we gotta be a little more wary. And as always, information is helpful. So I really appreciate you giving this opportunity. But I do have the other books, several divorce books. Susan, I think, described those. It's All Your Fault at Work, in the Workplace. And for professionals, I have high conflict people in legal disputes. So a lot of lawyers and law students find that, oh, there it is.
I have it.
And so, yeah. So I enjoy writing, I enjoy teaching people, and I'm so glad for this chance to educate your listeners. And hopefully they'll be a little more calm, because they can be, but also it's a better strategy too.
Well, we thank you so much for coming and joining us today, because I think in this episode, people, or these two episodes, people are going to actually pull out, you know, actionable tips that they can put into practice as they go through this very difficult process. I do want to make sure, where can they get the books, Bill?
Anywhere. They can go on Amazon, but also unhookedbooks.com has all these books as well. Unhooked Books, plural, unhookedbooks.com.
But I'll be sure to put that.
They're ebooks, they're audiobooks. A lot of them are audiobooks, so it's real easy to find these.
Wonderful. Well, yes. Thank you so much for joining us today, Bill.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. And remember to Biff, Ear, Web, and Cars.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.